Intergalactic planet jumping, planet jumping, intergalactic.
Welcome, everybody, to the Instant Cast presented by the Pewtercast. My name is Brent Allen. I will be one of your hosts tonight. Joining me right over there is my good friend Ren Dax, who has promised us a doozy tonight about some thoughts that he has about some things that he's been seeing. But before we get to that, my friend Ren, Buccaneers win today. Pretty well, a pretty good win. That's two in a row for the first time this season. How's it going, my friend? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, you know, everyone's excited. The defense shows up 2 weeks in a row, and look what happened. The Bucs have two convincing, dare I say, easy wins in a row.
That's what it seemed like, yeah.
You know, even with three turnovers from Jameis.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say, though, the game did not go the way that I thought it would at halftime. Like, so we go into halftime, and the score was, what, like 25-3 or something like that at the half? 25-0. Yeah, 25-0. And I turned to my friend, and I said, all right, you watch. Here's how the second half's going to go. Buccaneers will score one more touchdown, but the Jaguars are going to come back. They'll score two touchdowns and probably a field goal, just as the flow of the game would go. Like, the Bucs would stay in command, but I really thought that the Jaguars would come back out. They put Gardner Minshew in. I pretty much saw that coming. I think everybody did. And, you know, I just felt with the momentum and the swing and how the two teams were going to play the second half that that's what happened. But it's not what happened. Turns out the Buccaneers didn't score a touchdown. They only scored a field goal in the second half. And the Jaguars did not score two touchdowns. They only scored one, but they did get that field goal. So I was close. So close.
You were close.
But the Buccaneers still won.
Buccaneers still won. It was, you know, as the pessimistic Bucks fan or the beaten dog syndrome Bucks fan, you know, it got a little scary there late.
Yeah. You're like, whoa. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen? And Ren, for that, I mean, there's people in the chat room I can see over here that are already saying, hey, this was a great game. Is Ren going to be sad about this one?
Am I going to poo-poo on the offense?
Are you going to poo-poo on the offense? Yeah.
I am not, but I do I have an observation that I think is worth kicking around and talking about.
Well, save it. I want to get to it in just a moment.
I am.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, go ahead. I cut you off.
Yeah, so it does have to do with the offense, but it's not like, you know, it's not play calling or Jameis or O.J. Howard, who, by the way, hello, O.J. Howard. Welcome to the 2019 season.
Right. Him and Bashard Perryman apparently carpooled to the game today, I guess.
In the winner's lane?
Yeah.
Maybe they had an extra cup of coffee.
Maybe.
Yeah, I sent out a tweet like when that first touchdown, it was like, you know, Barber, Perryman, Howard, just like we all thought it was going to go. You know?
Right.
Like these are going to be the key players of the game. They ended up being the key players of the game. You know, as far as their season's gone, Mike and Chris were pretty quiet. Rojo was extra quiet. And, you know, but the Bucks offense, especially in that first half, the offensive line gave Jameis all the time in the world. And he was out there throwing dimes. Let's face it. Like,
yeah,
those passes to Howard that, you know, he would go up the field and sort of, you know, some people call him a corner route. Some people call him a pylon route, but still running away from Jameis on an angle to the sideline. And Jameis is dropping him in, you know, to O.J. Howard time after time after time. And, you know, he was about 50-50 on the deep balls, but, you know, it was, he was out there dealing. And, you know, they did exactly what I thought they were going to do. They, you know, they went out and, you know, beat a team that they were better than, and the team that they were better than, you know, outbucked the Bucks, you know,
normally,
you know, sort of like the beginning of the season or even last year, you know, three turnovers, like the first three times they had the ball and, you know, just, you know, and they had like 170 yards in penalties and they couldn't run the ball.
Was it that many, really?
And I think it was 16 penalties for like 170 yards.
125 yards. I got it right here. 16 penalties for 125 yards.
Very close.
No, still, good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
That is
a
lot.
You know, the Bucs just kind of got out of their way, and then, you know, defensive rookie of the year, Devin White.
Could be. Hey, Puties are coming around, Ren. Puties are coming around.
I meant the actual defensive rookie of the year.
What are you talking about? It is the actual defensive rookie of the year, as voted on by you, the fans. And if you don't know what I'm talking about with the Puties, every year we do, right here at the PewterCast, we do the PewterCast Awards. And, you know, for as much as we are a low-budget, out-of-our-own-pocket kind of a thing, it's actually a real award show, and we set it up. You, the fans, vote on it. Last year we had about 13,000 votes come through, which was really cool. And we, the fans, it's the only Tampa Bay Buccaneers award show out there where we, the fans, get to vote on it and we get to have our say, which is great. But yeah, Ren, man, I'm with you so much on this game went pretty much like we thought it was. I mean, I said it and I believe this is still going to be true. We're going to see good Jameis for a while and we saw good Jameis today. You might even say we saw great Jameis today in spite of, you know, Donovan Smith didn't have his best game. You know, there was a couple of plays there. It was like, come on, man. But, you know, in spite of anything else, and in spite of Rojo and whatever happened with him, and in spite of Evans and Chris Godwin not really ever getting going, not like we've at least seen them in the last couple of weeks, still, you know, they came out strong on that first half and, you know, sailed the rest of the way. So put the Jaguars back on their heels. So before we go any further though, Ren, I do want to give a quick shout out to everyone who is joining us in the chat room, live tonight. Lots of people at youtube.com/thePewterCast. This might be the fastest this room has filled up. Usually it kind of gets like a little slow burn and then it hits its peak, you know, probably about 10-15 minutes into the show. You know, filling up pretty nicely. So hello to all of you guys that are joining us live here at YouTube. And I'd like to give also a quick hello to those of you who are joining us on the podcast feed later. So hello to you, those of you in the future. Glad you guys have joined us. This is the show, if you're new to joining the PewterCast, this is the show where we talk about our instant reactions. This is the show where we give, this is the emotional one. We don't have to have a whole lot of logic, although we like logical arguments here. We don't hold ourselves to that so much. We give those immediate reactions. We take phone calls from our fellow fans. Most of you guys that are joining us in the chat room, we'll open that phone line up here in just a few moments. We'll take those phone calls. I will remind everybody at this moment, we only have one phone line, just one, because as I mentioned, this is a show out of our own pockets. This is not a professional radio show where you have some guy in a booth who's manning the phone lines or anything like that. So if you hear,
we could have had that for $75,000.
Yes, a year. Yes, $75,000 a year. We could have. But we opted, you know, the sponsors just weren't there. Hunt-A-Killer isn't really coming through with that paycheck just yet. But speaking of which, Hunt-A-Killer, you see the brand new box right here behind me for those of you guys there. Check them out. Hunt-A-Killer. Use the PewterCast at checkout for 20% off your first box. Very fun game. It's a murder mystery type game. But anyway, so there's that. But listen, if you're calling in, you want to call in, somebody else is on the line, just wait for the line to clear. We'll take your phone call as soon as, you know, if you're the first person that calls in next. And if you're not, then just wait for that line to clear and we'll take your phone call after that. So, you guys can do that. And thank you to whoever, Bucks Dive in the Pool, who says that we are better than any professional radio broadcast. So thank you for that. That's awful kind of you. But,
and 100% accurate.
I 100% agree, because I listen to some of those call-in radios on the way home when I'm in Tampa, and we do it better. That's my own personal opinion. But hey, listen, Buccaneers.
I wanted to kill Michael Clayton today.
Oh, did you? Tell me about it. I didn't get to hear it. I wasn't in Tampa today.
I don't even know. Like, he's become Lee DeKemper.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just like the things that come out of his mouth are so, like, I disagree with. I don't want to go as far as stupid, because some of them are stupid. Mm-hmm. But he also says some insightful thing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stuff today was just getting them. Like, I tried to call for an hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I tried to call for an hour to get on. I really wasn't going to yell at him. I wanted to ask them what I'm going to talk about later, sort of. And I don't want to, like, pump this up like it's a huge bombshell or anything. But before we get there, there are two shout-outs I want to give in the chat room. And
great.
You know, I don't want anyone to get their panties in a wad here if I miss you or if your other first time. But I saw Emilio Armia. Oh, what was it? Let me go back. Okay. Emilio. Emilio. Am I saying that right? Sorry if I mess it up. Hey, fellow Bucks fans, first time listening live. Great game. Wanted to say hi to him.
Awesome.
And our friend Corey, who was on TV, is listening to us driving back to Virginia.
Nice, nice. What's
you
up,
know Corey?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know Corey. Yeah,
yeah, I put out two pictures of him from online. God, man, he was a star on TV today.
Yeah, he was telling everybody it was a catch.
Yeah,
Catch. He was like, right? That's a catch, guys. That's a catch.
Right.
Mark Schlereth pointed him out, and he was on TV a couple times. So mm-hmm. Hi to those guys. And once again, I'm not acknowledging everyone else. I am acknowledging everyone else now.
There you go. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. Well, anyway.
Move the show right along.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Actually, I got caught up looking at the chat room over there. So, Buccaneers win today 28-11. Wren, you know, great game. Good. Somebody just pointed out, and they're absolutely right. Jameis threw 21 for 33 passes today for 268 yards. Zero touchdowns, though.
Yeah.
Zero touchdowns. Wow. I did not realize that until this very moment.
Why throw the ball when you got Villavea?
There you go. Run right behind him. Peyton Barber had two touchdowns in. Devin White had the
scoop and score.
The scoop and score.
And an INT.
Yeah. I mean, just.
And seven tackles.
Devin White, man. Devin White made himself a game today.
Two in a row. Yeah. Where he's had very good, like, outstanding player of the week games.
Yeah.
I already saw, like, from the NFL, they tweeted out that he already got a, do they call him defensive rookie of the week? Or maybe defensive player of the week, which is a bit odd since the Sunday night game, the Monday night game aren't
over.
Hasn't
even played. They've already given it to him?
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't like the FedEx where it's voted on, that type of thing. It was just, it might not have been from the NFL. Somebody, you know, who knows? Today, like, anybody's a graphic artist. Somebody just might have thrown it up themselves and just said it. But, you know, he did. He's had two very good games. You know, after the tonsillitis and the meniscus, and now he's back and he's rolling and he's fast. And here he actually said that interception. He actually said that he's to the point now where he baited Nick Foles.
Oh, really?
He goes, I knew that Nick thought I was going to follow the tight end to open that hole.
Right.
And he's like, I knew 12 was behind him. And he goes, I'm fast. I'm like, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm really fast. So what
is
I did
what
is like,
said?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
he goes,
funny.
I faked to go to the tight end and then came back and Foles basically threw it right to him. Wow. And he goes, I wish I would have stayed on my feet. And another thing, the reason he gave his touchdown away, like I saw him throw the ball in the stands. I'm like, dude, that's your first touchdown. What are you doing? He's right. like, nope, that was really Shaq's deal. I just finished it off. The ball I keep, I want it to be all mine. So basically, like, you know, a sack, scoop and score by himself, or an INT for a touchdown, or a forced fumble, you know, that's what he's waiting for.
Right, right. That's cool, man. I like that. I'll have to take a chance to go back and watch that. Wren, I know a lot of people are itching to call in, so I do want to open up that phone line in just a moment. But before I do that, you've had this big thing. I'm really interested to find out. Do you want to go ahead and talk about it? What's this observation you've been noting? What's going on? Because I really want to hear about that. Give you a chance to say that before we open up the phone line here.
Yeah, sure. Remember the Giants game, second game of the year? Yeah. Bucks had a big lead. And after that game, you know, we lost, obviously.
Right.
And it started to come out about how Byron Leftwich, he turtled as an offensive play caller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he quit being aggressive. Mm-hmm. And then this is pretty much the next game where he's had this type of lead where, like, it was a 25-point lead going, you know, coming out of halftime. And basically all I got to do is kind of sit on the ball, and it's going to be really hard for the Jaguars to score 25 points and a half as long as you don't turn the ball over. And what I'm thinking is, and I'm trying to think back and follow this and see if you sort of agree with this, that Byron Leftwich as a play caller is obviously good. You know, we've talked about how he's inexperienced, but it's the most points the team has ever scored.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably top five in the league in points scored. You know, Jameis is, you know, up there. He was two before this week in yardage, and Evans and Godwin, we got all that stuff, but I don't want to say he turtled today because the playbook, the book was to run the ball.
Right.
You know, let's run the ball. But we had zero effectiveness at running the ball. You know, like the longest run was obviously from Jameis. I think Barber got a 9-yard run one time, but I got called back with a Donovan Smith holding call or a holding penalty. Yeah. So
yeah, Jameis had a 16-yard long run. Peyton Barber had a 15, but Jameis did have the longest run of the day. Yeah,
that 15 is probably, was that the touchdown? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, not sure.
It doesn't matter. But so what I'm trying to say, and I haven't really, you know, sort of fleshed it out, is does Byron Leftwich, is he comfortable, or does he know how to call a game in the lead, like up two scores, you know? Because like you said in the opening, we only scored a field goal, but the play was to run the ball. Like, that was the smart thing to do, right? But when you can't do it, like, there are, you can start running screens to Godwin and Evans, or, you know, do play action fakes and dump it across the middle, or Christ, bring in Dare and just, you know, let him squirt through the line and dump it to him and let him get 6 yards at a time. There's ways to do very safe passes to keep the chains moving instead of just running the ball, knowing that, you know, we're seeing that your offensive line isn't getting these holes for these guys. And instead of going three and out, you know, run, we'll throw a pass on third down. Okay, three and out. So I'm just sort of wondering if Byron Leftwich is comfortable or knows how to, or what do you think of his play calling when the Bucs have the, you know, a bigger lead?
Yeah, you know, we always talk about that idea.
I don't want to make a big, huge deal out of it.
Yeah, I'm not
calling for his head.
Right.
It's just like when we've had the lead, teams have crawled back into it. You know, the Rams game, they crawled back into it, even though he did stay aggressive. That's more the defensive fault. But, you know, the Jags were inside the 5-yard line about to bring it to a 7-point game.
Right. So I don't know if this hits what you were talking about, but, you know, we often talk about the idea of playing to win versus playing not to lose. And I think if you were to look at this game, the first half of the game, certainly they were playing to win. They were going down there. They were scoring. They were doing everything they could. They went up 25-0, whatever they did. It was fantastic. They scored a field goal in the entirety of the second half. Now, I get it. When you come back out, what you want at that point, and the right call is to run the ball, chew up the clock, but you still need to score. You know, like, great. Chew up the clock. Take 10 minutes driving down the field. Just run, whatever that means. And occasionally you're going to pass it, you know, get out of a third longer or second long type situation. But, you know, chew that clock. But when you get down to the end, you need to put it in the end zone, or you need to kick it or something.
And the problem was they weren't doing either.
Right.
They weren't getting long drives, and then, you know, they weren't driving.
And we weren't giving it up
yards
off turnovers.
No. They quit turning the ball over.
Yeah.
Well, except for that one last time.
Yeah.
And a bunch decided to take a knee at the half-yard line. Thank you.
Right. So, you know, is it fair to say that he turtled? Because, like, I hear what you're saying. Like, the call of the play is run the ball, right?
Yeah.
But is it less aggressive? Are they just – I don't – because what's interesting to me is I'm looking at it. The Bucs had 74 rushing yards, and Jameis accounted for 20 of those, which means their running backs got 54 running yards.
Right.
That's it. 54 rushing yards, and which Peyton is not a good day.
Peyton led the way with, like, 34 to 2.6 average.
Yeah.
So it wasn't working. So, if you're coming into third and 11 or third and 9, two, three series in a row, and now you have to throw it on third down. If you don't get that, you know, they were getting out of the game.
Right.
You know, they were like three and out. And it's like, you know, it's, I understand run the ball and I get it. And I still think it's the right call, but when it's not working at all, you got to change something up. I know you don't want to throw the ball to the field, getting a beat pass, stop the clock. But like you said, you're still trying to score.
Yeah, right.
And it was a real weird balance today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I'm not yelling. We won the game, and you know, you could blame the offensive line should open up the holes, or maybe it would have been better with Rojo or Dare or Logan, like, gave somebody else. Like, I don't care. It's just the two times the Bucs have had a big lead, you know, besides the Rams game, the offense kind of took their foot off the gas.
Right.
And one game they lost, and one they were really close to making it a one score game, you know, about halfway through the fourth.
Yeah.
It's just something to talk about.
It is. And I don't. Is it fair to say that he's going conservative, though? That's I think, where I'm sticking up. And I don't know, because the right call in that moment is chew the clock. Do everything you can to chew the clock. But, you know, you remember when Robert Ayers was here? And I want to say it was the first game, maybe it was a Chicago Bears game a couple years ago when Robert Ayers was here, and like the Bucks had this big lead and they almost shut him out. And the word that kind of came out was after the game that Robert Ayers looked at Jameis and said, look, when you're up by that much, you don't want to just cruise and let it be. You want to put your foot on their throat and stomp.
Right.
And that's what we didn't do today. Like
one more touchdown would have done it.
Would have done it. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I felt like we were going to get that one more touchdown in the second half. We didn't. We got a field goal. Okay, fine. That's better than nothing. But we really, it just seemed like we didn't attack it as much, or we weren't executing, or yeah, I don't know. And what's really funny to me is I look at these numbers now, 74 yards rushing. Okay. 54 yards rushing from our running backs, but Jameis only threw for 268 yards. This isn't like he had a 300 or 400 yard passing game either, but yet we still ran the time of possession on him and owned the time of possession. So yeah, it's something. I'll say this. I'm not so worried about it right now, especially considering that we won.
Exactly.
But I do think this is maybe something to keep an eye on as we go forward. And I saw somebody mention in the chat room just a minute ago, he's still Byron Leftwich. He's still learning. You know, maybe it's something like that. Maybe this is, Bruce is going to get in his ass about it. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. Because these types of games don't happen every week, right? So you can only judge them as they come up. And, so we'll see. Let's see what happens. But with, go
ahead. That's exactly why I brought it up. Like, I'm not putting the panic button or, Leftwich has no idea what he's doing when the Bucks have a 2-score lead.
Sure.
It's just something that I've noticed, and it's like, and something, I learned very early on in podcasting, if you think something, say it.
Right.
Because if you don't, someone's gonna.
Exactly. So with that, Ren, why don't we go ahead and open up the phone line? You guys want to call in, you guys can do that. The phone line is open. I will remind
they're chomping
you.
At the bit.
They are. We only have one line. And so just wait for it to clear if you want to call in and somebody else is already on the line. But you guys can go ahead and do that. The phone number is coming up at the bottom of the screen right now for those of you that are joining us in the chat room. 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. You guys can call in. We will take your call. Please remember this is a PG-13 show-ish. So have something constructive to say. Just don't run off the rails. Is all we're really asking. And we'll always take the first caller. So,
trying to take that.
Yeah. All right. Let's see who we have here. You are on the line with Brent and Ren. If you could do us a favor, turn us down in the background and let us know who we're talking to.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Chad over in Tennessee, guys. How y'all doing?
What's going on, Chad, in Tennessee?
Up, Chad?
Hey, guys, I've been listening to y'all for 3 years. I love the program. I always hear it afterwards. Don't quite get a chance to call it on the Instacast, but tonight I got the chance.
Very fun. Is this your first time calling in, Chad?
It absolutely is, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great, man. Hey, listen, Buccaneers win. Always doing good. The only thing I'm a little upset with, and maybe a little more than a little, is I didn't get to go to the game, and it's all 25 minutes
in
away from my house. I know.
In Jacksonville, you didn't get to go to the game.
I know. Listen, we'll just say marital issues, okay? It's marital issues. Right. I had obligations.
We'll go with that. That's great, guys.
For whatever reason, I can drive 3.5 hours to go see a game. I can't drive 25 minutes. So, I'm not. What's going on, Chad? Talk to us, buddy.
Divorce papers are big.
Guys, I have a big question for you.
Yeah.
Number one, how do y'all feel about Rojo getting kind of pulled there for Peyton Barber? Like, what made that happen for you guys?
Well, if you've listened to the press conference and sort of seen on Twitter, what happened, apparently, and who knows if this is true or not, it's probably partially true, probably some other things to it, that Rojo missed a blitz pickup, and it appears to be the one where Jameis got sacked and actually fumbled.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians just said in the press conference, well, he missed the blitz pickup. After that, he don't get to play anymore, period. It's that simple. So I believe him. I don't know, but it could also be more of this was the type of game, the way the runs they were going to call, they wanted Peyton to run it more to see what he could do. Or it could be as simple as that he missed the blitz pickup and that's the end of it. And Bruce is holding him accountable like he should. I mean, this was something that's been a problem.
I mean, I feel that.
I'll tell you, it's one of those, I believe, and this is just me, I don't know. I think people are going to make way too much out of when Bruce Arians said he missed the blitz pickup so he doesn't get to play anymore. Because what he preceded that by saying, well, Peyton kind of had the hot hand. Now, looking at the stat line, that's not really the case. But I tell you what, when I was watching the game, it sure as heck felt like Peyton had the hot hand in the moment. That's what it felt like to me. So I think if it's coupled with, hey, he missed the blitz pickup, we took him out, we put Peyton in there, and Peyton started getting, you know, the runs, he started doing it, and he got the hot hand. I think it's the two coupled with each other. It's not just the one. That's the way I'm interpreting that. I got to believe that Scott Reynolds, at least, or Jenna Lane, that they're going to ask Bruce to clarify that tomorrow and dig into that a little bit more. So I'm reserving judgment, but I do feel like there's probably going to be a lot of people that are going to make way too much of that. However, yeah, if it is true that it was just you missed a blitz pickup, so we benched you off of that one play, this isn't a Vernon Hargraves situation. You're not loafing all the way since training.
See, that's what I agree with.
You know what I mean?
It's too much in one play.
Yeah.
If you're going to go say, Rojo, you're the starter, but you missed a blitz pickup, sorry, not sorry, you're not there, that just seems too heavy for me. That's not a fair thing to say for me.
Yeah, and you know, Bruce has shown us that he has a history of not always saying the right thing at the podium, especially right after the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you back him up 5 yards. It's an easier kick.
Yeah, like, you know, he says some boneheaded stuff at the podium sometimes, and I don't know if he does it on purpose, to be honest with you. He might, but I don't know. We'll see.
Here's what I think it is. I don't think it's that one time he missed the blitz pickup. I think it's an accumulation of him missing blitz pickups throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point, you know, they finally sat him down at one point and said, look, man, you got to start picking up this blitz or there's going to be consequences. Like, we want to put you in the game. We want you to have the ball. And, it's kind of like what Brent said with Vernon. Eventually, it's just like the loafing became too much. It's not the first time we've yelled at you. It's not the first time we've told you to correct it, and you didn't. Now you're gone. Mm-hmm. And with Rojo, it's like it's not the first time that you've blown a blitz pickup.
Yeah.
You know, the reason you got benched today was because you blew a blitz pickup, but it's not the first one.
Right. But let me put this back on you, Chad, and Ren, for you too, though. If Peyton had gone out there and he didn't, if he kept getting shut down in every single run that he had and he wasn't doing well.
He did.
How did it?
Brady had 34
yards.
He may
have, but he at least got positive yardage every time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Never got positive yardage when he touched that ball today.
And Ren, I'm telling you, in the game, all right, and I know what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Ren, because I'm looking at the stat sheet, and you're right. But in the game, it sure as hell felt like Peyton was doing, you know, okay. You know, the hot hand might be
Rojo,
a little bit.
Rojo never got positive yardage.
And he did not.
It
not
never seemed
game.
Like he touched the ball and he went forward.
And that's what I'm saying. If Peyton kept getting pushed backwards and kept getting pushed backwards or something like that, I really wonder if they wouldn't have gone over to Rojo. So that's why I think it's a kind of a combination. Ren, you sound like you look like you're
about to explode.
Yeah, you look like you're about to say, you guys are all freaking idiots.
No, I will give you that, you know, Rojo did not have, I will say Peyton Barber had a better game running the ball than Rojo did.
Yeah.
But he only got like 6 carries. You know, it was like 8 yards on 6 carries. Okay. But Barber wasn't much better.
Well, then turn him into positive yards then, Rojo. I'm sorry. Turn him into positive yards.
No, I'm with you.
He never did it all game.
I'm with you. And like, I really don't care. I don't have a dog in this fight. Like, I don't care which one, like, neither of them were effective. You know, Barber ran for 34 yards and one of them was a 15 yarder. That means he gained, what, 19 yards and all the rest of his runs?
Yeah, I mean, just check it out. I mean, just because I have the numbers right here in front of me. He had 17 carries. 15 yards was a long one on 44 yards. So 29 yards spread out over 16 carries. That's not great. It's really not.
That's not great at all.
That's what I'm saying. I know what you're saying because I see it in front of me. However, in the game, it felt like he was doing better.
Well, that's why you're an F and I'm an L.
That is true. That is true. An L. I think you're a T.
All right, guys. One more topic. Okay. We can change it real fast. So one more topic for you guys, and I want to know how y'all feel.
Okay.
Guys, back-to-back games. We shut down Matt Ryan and Nick Foles in a young secondary. Mm-hmm. And I thought they looked great. What's your guys' opinion? I want to hear it.
As soon as Vernon got cut, I was on the show and you've probably heard it, that I'm excited to see these three guys together. You know, DD and SMB. That's what I'm calling them. Davis, Dean, and SMB. DD and SMB. I'm to the point where I'm a little bit scared of Dean. He might be Elijah Prince Jr. Google it if you don't know who Elijah Prince is.
Okay.
And
I know he is. Yes, sir.
Oh yeah, Brent. Do you know who Elijah
I have
Prince
no
is?
Idea. I was actually kind of hoping you'd tell me that. So
it's Mr. Glass.
From the M. Night Shyamalan movies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Glass.
Okay.
So I'm a little worried about Dean's sort of health over, you know, it seems like every other game he gets banged up. I mean, he hurt his shoulder and he's out for the whole game. Bruce Arians did say that he could have gone back in, but he's saving him for next week for the Colts game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was really excited to see these three guys play together, and they haven't disappointed. They really haven't. It's you don't want to blame it on Vernon, but as soon as he left, it's like night and day. It's an instant upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, like this.
Oh,
this,
everybody on this defense cares now. Everybody cares now. BH3 being gone. He was the one that didn't seem like he gave a rat's ass. Sorry, PG-13, I know, but he didn't seem like he gave a rat's ass. And now we're here, and these guys that are out there, they care about it, and you can see that they care about it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm still excited to see the whole year through. But what I will say, when Dean went out and Ryan Smith went in, I forgot how bad he was.
Right.
So, again, like, even though it sounds really stupid – I would not mind a cornerback in day two for the Bucks in the draft because, I mean, I just don't trust Dean's health in a 16-game season.
Has he actually – Chad, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, man. Thanks so much for calling in. All right, buddy?
Yeah, guys, thank you so much. Also, go Devin White, guys.
There you go. Hey, Chad, call back in, man. Call back in on a future game. We'd love to talk to you again, okay?
Absolutely.
Good call. I like when people call in with specific questions like that. But Ren, remind me, Jamel Dean, and I'm sorry, I'm just not thinking about it right now. Has he been hurt before? Because I don't actually remember him being hurt up till this point.
Yeah, he tweaked his knee.
Oh, was that last week?
No, it was early in the season.
Was it? Okay.
Remember it was on. He was covering a punt. It might have been his shoulder. No, it was his knee. He was covering a punt, and the guy grabbed the inside of his shoulder pad and drug him down.
Okay.
And he tweaked his knee. He wasn't playing yet.
Huh.
But I think he was out like 2 weeks, maybe three.
Right.
Okay. And then he came back, and now, you know, he has a hurt shoulder. And again, I might be overreacting. You know, if this was a playoff game or something like that, he would put him back in, and Bruce Arians just kind of might have thought that, look, we're going to beat these guys with or without you.
Right.
So let's not risk it.
Yeah.
Let's not risk your shoulder because I really want you for this Colts game.
Yeah.
And it could be as simple as that.
I believe that because I honestly had that same thought sitting on my couch. Like, listen, we've got this game. You know, if there's any question
sitting
mark
on your
whatsoever.
Couch, you didn't go to the game?
Didn't go to the game. Son of a.
Wow. You live in Jacksonville, you know.
I know. Ugh. Hey, phone line's open. You guys want to call in? 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. You guys give us a call. We will take your call. And, hey, by the way, don't wait. Don't worry about interrupting us, all right? We've been doing this a long time now. We'll change topics mid-sentence if you guys call in. We'll talk about what you guys want to talk about. A couple people in the chat room are noting that VH3 is now hurt. I don't know what that's all about, but there's a small part of me, little schadenfreude in me. I kind of want to go check that out. And I never wish for people to get hurt, but, you know, Vernon's
been a... But if I did, he'd be one of them.
He would be one of them. That's right. That is right. But yeah, and Daniel saying Dean is out with a shoulder. He was out with a shoulder for this game. It remains to be seen what will happen with him, you know, going forward. So
yeah, I'm not worried about it. Well, obviously I am because I brought it up and I called him Mr. Glass.
Right.
But that's basically because, you know, he had blew his ACL out twice in college.
Did he really? Yeah, I think people are
three
saying
times.
That right now. Yeah.
Three times. He blew it out. Or maybe it was twice. Three times, I think. Uh-huh. Once in high school. No, only twice. Once in high school and once at Ohio State. And that's why they let him go. And then he went to Auburn. And I think he broke his hand. He played all of last year in a cast with a broken hand. And now he's hurt his knee again from that special teams, you know, quote, tackle where he was tackled. And then and now his shoulder. So, you know, just something to look at. Just something to think about. But, you know, when he went out, it was like, oh, God.
Right.
Because as soon as he went out, that's when Jacksonville's kind of started to ramp it up. Like, you know, like what they did to Dean in Seattle. Like, where's Ryan Smith? Oh, there he is. Whoop. We'll just throw it his way.
Right. Let me ask you this, just because I saw this go out there. With the people that we have in backup behind Jamel Dean, outside of Ryan Smith, you're looking at a Darian Stewart. You're looking, I think at some point we saw them bring Mike Edwards up into the slot and push SMB back out onto the outside.
Yeah.
Mazzy Wilkins was in the
Did he get playing time?
Did he?
Yep. Got two tackles, I think.
Did he? Wow. Okay, cool.
I think.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. But who would you rather see if not Smith?
Mazzy Wilkins?
Yeah, he had two tackles.
Edwards
two solo
in the
tackles.
Slot. Yeah. Edwards in the slot, like something.
Right.
Just something.
All right, let's find out who we have here. You are on the line.
Else? Maybe Vernon. Bring Vernon back.
Bring Vernon back. Yeah, we can do that. we'll claim him off of Texas waivers. You're on the line with Brent and Wren. Who do we have here tonight?
This is John Riley, Newport Ritzy. Hey, guys.
John, welcome back, buddy. John, I got to tell you something. You were our most requested caller last week, and we didn't get you. But, man, I'm so glad to hear from you. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just looked at the win, you know. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Liked the win, you know. It's two wins in a row, you know. Feels good, you know, to win back-to-back. Feels good.
Nice.
I got to say, though, last week after they win, I was suspect. I was like, I'm not buying in. I don't believe about this right now. I have to see a couple more games. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm starting to believe in this defense and stuff, but, you know, I'm still like, it's like two games. I want at least one more. If right. I see one more, like, against the Colts, if the defense can do this against the Colts, I do believe that this defense is legit.
John, that is 100% fair, and I got to tell you, and I'll probably talk about this more on the show later this week, I am 100% with you on that, like down the line, because look, let's face it, last week we faced a Falcons team that hasn't been great this year. Yeah, they had two good weeks before us, but they've not been great this year, and this week we faced the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know what I mean? Like, it's not convincing yet. I'm with you, though. If we can go out and perform well against the Colts, that'll be something. That'll be something, and I'm with you. I need another week of this. 2 weeks in a row doesn't do it for me. I need three before we can call it a streak.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I do like the secondary, though. Jamel Dean, you know, even though he got injured, you know, he played well. Mm-hmm. Sean Murphy Bunting, you know, played the hero ball. You know, he had the pick, you know, that literally killed the Jaguars' momentum. You know, that was like mm-hmm. the end of it. And, hey, we didn't get beat by a rookie quarterback.
There you go. Hey, I tell you,
and no backup too. We didn't get beat up by a backup or a rookie. Oh,
yeah, that was nice. I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah, I was. You know, I was thinking the same thing when you know they were inside the five, and you know it felt like they're just about to cut it to 7 points. I'm like, oh, here we go. Like rookie.
Like I got. It's like we had like Vietnam flashbacks of the New York Giants game.
Yeah. Yeah, agree 100%. How do you think the offense looked?
I think they looked well. Jameis, you know, even though if you can kind of say, you know, he played a clean game, which I liked about him, you know, had a great game, you know. They kept a goose egg on the interceptions, which I liked. You know, mm-hmm. that's one thing, you know, maybe, you know, if he could do that maybe one more time, you know, I'm definitely agreeing with giving the franchise tag. I like that. You know, if he could do that, franchise tag him. I'll be okay with that.
You think franchise tag over offer a new contract just yet?
Yeah, I'm still franchise tag, man. I'm still hesitant, man. It's like you can't. Yeah. I'm not doing it yet. I'm not fully buying in. I'm buying in a little bit, but not fully. Like, right. I'm not all in. Also, like Kevin's Chris Godwin, they played all right. Mm-hmm. But O.J. Howard, he finally woke up.
Yeah.
And Breshad Perriman, welcome to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, Breshad Perriman led us with receiving yards today. 87 receiving yards, 5 catches.
Career high.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the guys I make fun of, though, especially the two guys I made fun of, like, when I had that rant, like, 2 weeks ago, they starting mm-hmm. to play O.J. Howard, you know, he's played well today, and then Shaq Barrett seemed like he's been doing well now, you know?
Yeah.
The only two guys I was kind of right about, Donovan Smith and Mar Dotson, you know, they're still having turnovers. They're still having penalty problems, and they're not doing the greatest. So I'm still looking to get rid of at least DeMar Dotson, you know, during the off season. You know, I'm still keen on that. Sorry about that, man. Sorry, DeMar. Sorry.
Listen, DeMar is going to be one of these guys that he's not going to retire from the NFL. The NFL is going to retire him, you know, like he will continue to play as long as somebody gives him a contract. But I mean, Wren says it all the time. You know, we've been trying to get rid of DeMar for a few years now and we just mm-hmm. haven't. So,
well, we can do it in the draft though. We definitely do it during the draft now. So if we give every franchise tag Jameis, we probably will either focus on offensive or defensive line most likely.
Yeah, no, the defensive line right now is the thing that scares me the most going into 2020, given the current status where, like, all but one person have an expiring contract this year.
Thing I am like about this defense is the defensive line, man, this front seven, man, they're producing sacks, and I do like it, you know. We're running in the trenches, playing in the trenches once again. know, and that's nice, you know, and I'm liking the strip sack, you know, where I like seeing turnovers, you know, turnovers, defensive touchdowns. It does, this definitely feels like, though, it could definitely be a different team than it was last year. Like, last year was definitely different. We couldn't get turnovers, no defensive touchdowns. It seemed like this year it may be the turnaround, like, where, you know, everything coming together. And I do love Devin White, man. He has been a guy I love. He's looking like the top five pick we always wanted to be. You know, if he probably didn't get the tonsillitis and the injury, he probably would be, like, top three candidate for defensive rookie of the year, man. But honestly, I don't care. I'm just loving what he's doing right now. He's looking like the cornerstone of our team that we've been looking for.
Certainly he's looking like, and Ren, I'm sorry to cut you off. Certainly he looks like a potential replacement for Lavonte David, because let's face it, guys, Lavonte David's 9 years in the game. I don't know how many more he's got left.
He maybe has like two to three, maybe yeah, at best.
Yeah. And I'm not wishing him away. Don't get me wrong. I'm not wishing Lavonte David away.
No,
at all.
He'll retire, yeah, a legend in a Buck uniform.
Yeah.
For us.
He would be a guy, and this might be a conversation for a future time. Is Lavonte David a future Ring of Honor candidate? Certainly
I was just
a candidate.
Say,
definitely
he's going
candidate
in before GMC.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
At this point, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I gotta be honest. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
So
yeah, honestly, I have no gripes about that.
There you go. All right, John. Hey, I'll give you one last thought before we let you go. We'll let somebody else call in. What you got for us, buddy?
All right. Let's just, you know, it's nice, you know, hopefully we can win against the Colts. But I do believe that, you know, we're second in the division now, tied for second. That's mm-hmm. nice, you know, I'm happy we're getting out of the basement. And, I definitely feel like now with this, I'm definitely more confident we can at least go 7-9 or 8-8 than we have been, you know, and mm-hmm. potentially looking like, you know, maybe next year, maybe a couple pieces here and there. Maybe if this continues, we might be able to put something of a playoff push maybe next year. I don't know.
Listen, Bruce Arians,
more, though.
Bruce Arians said it when he came in and did his interview. He said, if we win the Super Bowl in year two, I'm out. So he didn't say year one. He said year two. You know,
yep,
he knew something about going into year one. Let's not forget the whole cap situation that we had going into this offseason.
Yeah, we literally had no cap. We had like 10 mil to our name, and that was it.
Exactly. So we've got some wiggle room this year. We, you know, they've got some key pieces they've got to re-sign, but we got that. So, John, man, thank you so much for calling in. Hopefully we'll hear from you back next week. All right, buddy?
All right. All right, man, and go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Go Bucks. Ren, is that the mug you promised us? Does it have the Cup Richard Perriman written on the bottom yet?
It does not, and
no,
it will not.
And it will
I
not.
Like this one. This is the only mug I've ever bought. I've ever bought.
It
I'm
looks
that
like
guy
you
now.
Made it.
Thank you. It's Irish craftsmanship.
There you go.
I've turned into that guy. You know you're old when you go on vacation and you buy a coffee mug.
For those of you listening on the podcast feed later, Ren was just holding up a green, looked like handcrafted ceramic.
It is handcrafted.
Yeah, it was really good. It was real pretty.
It's a coffee cup.
There you go. Go to YouTube.com, find our YouTube channel, and go to about the 45-minute mark. You'll hear where you'll get to see it. But for right now, we got a caller on the line. Who do we have here with us tonight?
What's up, fellas? It's Craig.
Craig in Vegas.
Hey.
Wait, are you in Vegas, Craig?
Hey. Yes, I'm back in Vegas.
Okay.
No more Disneyland trip.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
30, almost 30 miles in a couple days. That's enough walking.
Hyperspace Mountain, buddy.
So, yeah, Hyperspace Mountain was really good. Star Wars was really good, too.
Nice. All right, man, talk to us. Buccaneers, 28-11 over the Jaguars today.
Hey, you know what's even better today? So, Thanksgiving table.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law is an Eagles fan. I'm talking to my nephews about fantasy football. I'm saying, you know, Carson Wentz is a bust right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a, you know, 50% passer. He gets a little heated, as an Eagle fan does, and says, well, he's a great quarterback. He goes, your quarterback should be in jail. And I said, listen, last I checked, he was never convicted in a court of law as well, too. I think that's how the judicial system works in our country.
Right.
And then he got really mad, had to walk from the table. My wife said, you got to stop. So you know what? When the Eagles lost today, you know what? Justice was served at the table then.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
Yes.
I like
hey,
it.
Hey, for the game today, I thought the defense honestly carried this team more than the offense has had, and I'd say in a month. I thought the O-line was maybe C-plus, the B-minus today. I didn't think they – burst that defense, the way they've been getting up chunk yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Donovan Smith really also had a rough game today as well, too. It was a few bad penalties as well, too. I think him and Allie had some communication issues.
Yeah.
I think DeMar had it as well, too. So I think this was a good win where you didn't have to have Jameis throw for 300. You didn't have to, you know, chuck and duck with our receivers as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this team controlled the pace of play for the most part. Yes, Jackson was going to make a run a little bit, but when you're up 25-0, most teams are going to make a run back at you. But they also sustained some drives after that to keep it going as well, too. So I don't know if this is the most complete victory of the season because I don't think we saw everything that we're used to on the offensive side. But, hey, you take the W. But it was nice to see the defense bow up with a goal line stance, which we haven't seen maybe since, I think, the winning streak on a few years ago in the 9-7 season as well, too. So you haven't seen a defense stand up in the red zone like that, especially at the one-yard line, and actually finish a game as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun to see as well, too. I think today what Shaq got two more. Is he at 14.5 now, Ren?
Yeah, he
was 12.5 coming in.
Yep, leading the lead.
Yeah, so he took the lead as well, too. That's you know, it's a tough decision, I think, with JPP and him because they're playing so well right now. But you got to factor age with JPP. Shaq, you have to get it under the right deal, I think, as well, too, because
mm-hmm.
There are teams that may want to overpay for him as well, too. I do think one thing, as much as the young secondary is growing up, I still say they need a veteran on the back end on the safety as well, too. It just seems like there's never help over the top sometimes with the safety.
I agree.
I'd like to see maybe Patrick Peterson maybe wants to play safety to round out his career.
Right.
I don't think that's a guy that BA is used to as well, too. But overall, I mean, listen, we've won two in a row. We haven't stacked, you know, like BA says, we haven't stacked W's all year. We stack two. I agree next week with you, Brent. Next week's the proof that this team's really grown up.
Yep.
Is now you've got two in a row. You've got a home game, which right now we're not a good home team. What are we, 1-4 at home right now? And you count the London game as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that next week proves like, hey, you know what? If this team's really grown up and can handle success
mm-hmm.
and is any good and has really turned the corner, then you have to win next week. That was a Colts team that got beat up pretty good by a team the Bucs should have beaten early a few weeks ago in Tennessee as well, too. So this week is where you see, are we really a good team on the rise, or did we just beat a couple teams that were kind of in a bad situation? I know Atlanta was playing well going into that game. But overall, Atlanta's awful.
Yeah,
I mean,
Craig,
we saw it again on Thursday night as well, too.
Yeah, Craig, that's exactly what I was just saying with John, our last caller, was, you know, and I'm with you guys on that. We need to see another week before we go, before anybody gets, the secondary is totally fixed. Like, I need to see a little more proof in the pudding before we're ready to really christen, you know, the win here on this one. So, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
Yeah, yeah. And this will also make a big, you know, the next few games as well, too. We'll make also how we spend our money in free agency. If the secondary can't step up against some of the better teams that are going to play down the stretch with the Colts as well as the Houston Texans as well, too, then you have to just think maybe you do have to add one or two more pieces to that back end. Now, if this team does grow up in the next few weeks and this young secondary does step up, then maybe you spend your pieces a little bit different as well, too. But you know what? This is the next. This you have to win. I think what are they beating? Only one. We'll see. L.A. is over 500. Carolina is now back to 5. No, they're 5-7. So you haven't beaten a team with a winning record yet.
That's true. But you know, like you said, this is starting to feel like Tony Dungy's first year as the Bucs.
The San Diego turnaround?
Yeah, like where, you know, it was the same old Bucs for the first half of the year, and then I think they won 6 of their last 8, and then next year we're sort of off and rolling. You know, I know the schedule, you can only play who's in front of you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We had that terrible road trip, and we played all the, you know, the better teams during that trip. But this, like you said, this is going to be a test, this San Diego game. San Diego's beat up. You know, they're missing their receiver. Obviously, we have the quarterback situation, but he's played fine. I think they've lost like 3 or 4 in a row. Marlon Mack's out, but they're clinging on to their playoff lives in the AFC right now. And this is going to be a must win for them. So this is going to be, you know, besides the Texans, we'll see where the Texans are. Like, I love Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Texans are any good. I think they're an okay to crappy team that's in a crappy division that have, you know, and so are the Colts. But I, you know, I think Deshaun Watson's, you know, is a top 20, top 25 player in this league. So those are the two games we're going to measure it against. You know, we get Atlanta again and somebody else. So, but that's what I'm really looking for. Like I said at the end of the last podcast, like the Bucs are going undefeated the rest of the way. And if they do, they'll go 6-6, or even if they lose one, put it this way. If the Bucs lose a game of these last four, three of them are at home, they have got, they will go 6-2 to finish the year. Because right now they've won three or four, and they got four left.
All right, and I got to ask, I was late to the broadcast a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brent, did you not go to the game today?
Nope. Nope. Sure didn't. Sure didn't. I could drive 3.5 hours to go to a home game in Tampa. I can't drive 25 minutes to go to a game when it's right here in the town that I live in.
Right.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
Listen. It was – okay. All right, here's the story. I'll tell you guys the story. This is what happened. You guys remember a couple weeks ago when the Buccaneers just got completely embarrassed, you know?
The Saints rant, right?
And then we came in and we had this instant cast. Right. Well, yeah. So like my wife went off to work and she works at night. So she comes home in the morning. Well, I went to bed, and when she came home in the morning, she sort of sat down on the, you know, on the bed, and she's like, oh, hey, the Buccaneers aren't home. We were trying to plan some Thanksgiving stuff. She said, they're not home the week after Thanksgiving. Right. Well, can I make some plans and have a bunch of people over? And what I said in that moment was, yeah, screw it. Do it. I'm not spending any more money on this damn team. I hate these guys right now. Like that's where I was in the moment. Right. So it was my own fault. Like that's exactly what I said. And so she's like, oh, great. So she made all these plans for us for today to have a bunch of people over and all this stuff. And, you know, then it turned into, oh, well, the Bucs actually won their game last week. And now Brent's really pissed off and mad. And I was pissed off and mad all day. Like every time the Bucs did something good, like I was ecstatic. And then I was pissed off that I wasn't there, like all the more, you know? So, yeah. So it was, I mean, I got myself into it. No one's else to blame but me. But, you know, still, I was a little more than pissed. And I told her, I said, listen, the next time the Buccaneers are in town where we live and they're coming to play, I don't care what I say. The answer is, yes, I'm going to the game. That's the answer. So that's how it happened. That's what it is. But, you know, it is what it is. I hate it. But, you know, hey, I'll be there next week, though, against the Colts.
All right. Well, hey, safe drive down to Tampa next week.
Thanks, man.
I love the show. Sorry I couldn't get in last week when I was in Anaheim as well, too. But, sure. You know, obviously we will have some – really good to talk about next week, either a team that's on the rise or same old Bucs.
There you go. That's and we'll find out. Next week is the proof of the pudding. Craig, thanks so much, man. I'm going to go ahead and let you go.
All right. Take care, brothers. All right, bye.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Craig.
All right. I like this. Charles Donahue. Sorry, I try not to say last names. Charles over in the chat room, I'm just going to put this out there because it's about me, says, Brent, my wife says you have a cute smile, and she told me to tell you. Thank you, Mrs. Donahue. I appreciate it. I'll do what I can for you.
and he's smiling.
I am. That made me smile. That made me smile. Guys, listen, phone line's open. We're right up against our hour here. So if somebody else wants to call in, there it is right there. We'll only take a few more here for the night. You are on the line with Brent and Ren. Who do we have here?
Hey, what's up, guys? Steve on the line from D.C.
Steve from D.C.
Hey,
what's up,
Steve.
Buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Man, we're doing. Talk to us about the game today, buddy.
Oh, man. It was a good overall game. 2 weeks in a row, I think.
Yeah.
The team can't. Played complete offense, defense, special teams. Good win. That mm-hmm. White, he was a beast today. He looked value of that fifth overall pick.
Yeah, look, there is a thing where we talked about, if you remember, people, we took Devin White in the draft, right? There was a lot of people that were upset.
Yeah.
You don't take a linebacker. In fact, there is a fairly prominent media member who very cleanly said, if the Buccaneers take a linebacker in the draft in the first round, he'll turn in his media credentials. He didn't. But that's, you don't take a linebacker in the first round of the draft is what we all get told. Well, they told us they really like Devin White. They like everything he brings to the table. He was their guy since January. You know, like that's the story that went around. And everybody's like, whatever. You know, he had a rough start to the year. But he didn't have a flashy start to the year, but he's been pretty flashy
injury,
the last couple of weeks.
He was injured.
He was sick. Yeah. I mean, there's
he
a lot
had
of
rough start.
There's a
His
lot
horse
of
died. He got tonsillitis.
His horse died. I forgot about the horse. That's
he was dehydrated.
Yeah.
And put in the hospital.
Right.
And then he got injured.
Okay. By rough, I just mean rough. Like, it's not rough like he had a poor performance every time going out. He had a lot of other stuff going on. You know, he didn't play badly through that. He just didn't have much flash. He's having a lot of flash over these last couple of games. And it's just amazing. And Ren, what'd you say he said earlier today? I'm good enough that I was goading Nick Foles into throwing.
He said he baited Nick Foles in that interception, and he was talking about how he was, you know, he faked like he was going to trail the tight end because that was his job. But he basically said, well, I'm fast enough to come back and fill the hole. And he's like, not that I'm bragging, but, you know, I'm fast. So, you know, hey, he said it right on Buccaneers radio. So, you know, we're talking about how, you know, Brent, you're right. He didn't flash, but he was still learning. And it's just, it's really, it makes you smile, makes you feel good inside that, you know, not even through, you know, his rookie year, he's already to the point where he's baiting veteran quarterbacks into INT. Like, now he understands the game enough.
Yeah.
It's slowing down for him enough where he knows the quarterback thinks he's taking that guy. And he also knows that there's a guy crossing behind him.
Right.
And he sees that, he computes it, and he goes in his head, I'm going to fake to the tight end and let him think the guy behind me is open, and then I'm going to pick it off. And, you know, that was a thought process, and it came to work. Like, I am very excited about this defense going forward. You know, it's unfair, like I said earlier, to put it on sort of VH3. He left, and, you know, sort of the lights turned on. I think it has a very, very, very much to do with JPP coming back.
I agree.
And then once he came back, Nassib went down. And now they're both back for these past two games.
Mm-hmm.
The Nassib, Sue, Vita Vea, JPP. And then, like, I left out Sack Barrett. Like, so you got, you know, you got this rotation, and Will Golston's playing great against the run. The front seven is very, very solid. The big, you know, sort of complaint for me in the past few years was that Kwon was an absolute liability in the passing game. He could not stay with the Christian McCaffreys. He could not stay with the Kamaras. He could barely stay with tight ends. When we played, you know, the Cardinals, I think it's been like 3 years in a row now, David Johnson ate his lunch every single time. And Levante David, I saw him in training camp, and he was having trouble staying with, like, O.J. Howard. He was having trouble staying with Tanner Hudson. Cam Brate, he had, you know, old lead-footed Cam, but it doesn't matter. He'll catch it. You throw it to him, he's going to catch it. And White saying things like, oh, you know, O.J. Howard, he's not a tight end. He's way too fast. And I'm thinking to myself, like, all the tight ends in the league are as fast as him. Like, there's a half dozen, maybe 20 tight ends in the league that are like O.J. Howard. Like, San Diego has one, you know. Now Detroit has one. The Giants have one. Like, everybody has these super athletic tight ends now. And I'm thinking, he's not going to be able – if he can't cover O.J. Howard, we're in some serious trouble, because O.J. Howard doesn't get a lot of separation. But now, you know, he's got some couple months under his belt. Like, he's not sick. He's not injured. And he could not be playing better, and I could not be more pleased with what we're getting from him, Vea, the defensive front, Levante David, and since VH3 left, those young guys in the secondary. It feels like it's finally all coming together. All those, you know, 37 draft picks we've put in the secondary in the past 3 years. Hey, like, five of them have finally panned out, and it's just fun because
we need one more.
Yeah, we need one more in case somebody gets injured. Because, like, if the defense shows up, and I mean shows up, like, holds the team to 24 points, we will win every game.
Yeah.
We will.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much pressure Jameis gets. It doesn't matter how clunky the offense looks. You look up at the end of the game, and we've scored 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
We just have. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how many interceptions he throws. Doesn't matter if we can't run the ball. We score 30 points.
Yeah, that's right. Even in spite of the interceptions and all that other stuff, we still get there, which is crazy.
Do you guys think Devin Bush is playing better than Devin White?
I don't care.
I don't watch Devin Bush, so I don't know. Like, I honestly can't answer that because I don't watch other – I very rarely watch other teams and pay attention to their play. Like, I'll watch football. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of football, but I'm not, you know, I'm not following what the other players are doing, if that makes sense. Like, Josh Allen, right? Like,
okay.
Didn't we think Josh Allen was potentially going to be a Buck when it came up?
The Jaguars?
Yeah, the guy from the Jaguars.
He's leading the lead rookie sacks, though.
He is. I didn't know that until you just said that.
He's doing better than Bosa.
He's actually doing better than Bosa. And I'll be honest, I probably watch more Jacksonville game. Like, Jacksonville's probably the number two team in the league I watch right now, just because I live here, you know? And I didn't know that. So, you know, it's, you know, I know about Gardner Minshew because that's been a big thing here. But yeah, I don't know. But
yeah. What I know about Devin Bush is he had a hot start and now he's starting to cool off. And it's just the opposite for Devin White.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather have the Devin White arc. I'd much rather have the Devin White arc, as in like slow start, learning, starting to take off, than getting this hot start and, you know, sort of like people are figuring out how to neutralize you and you're starting to, you know, go the other way. But, you know, Pittsburgh, they've had a rough year. They're on their fourth quarterback. So they're asking a lot of the defense.
Yeah.
They're doing fine. And quite honestly, like I said, I don't care, because really I don't. Like, I'm so happy with Devin White. I don't care what Devin Bush does. I don't care what Josh Allen does.
Yeah.
We needed a middle linebacker. We didn't have one.
Yeah.
Now we're strong up the middle. We got
exactly
in front of him. We got Devin White right behind him. We probably have, and you know, I like Brent said, I don't watch all the other, you know, teams religiously, and I can't tell you every, you know, duo of inside linebackers, but I would put those two guys, even Devin White, without playing a full season, against anybody in the league as far as playmakers, speed, ability, and upside. Like, they are, that linebacking core is legit, and they're fast, and they're really fast, and they're really good.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100% on that.
All right, Steve, I give you one more thing to say, and then I'm going to let you go. We'll clear the line here.
James played good.
Yeah.
He played good enough for us to win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the defense played good. Other than that, I don't have any too many complaints about the team, but the only thing I have to say again is the same thing I told you guys last week. Mm-hmm. We got to sign that defensive line back. JPP, Shaq Barrett, and also the defensive tackle guy. What's his name?
Sue.
Nassib.
Sue. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to shoot. Yeah. We have to sign all them guys back.
I got to tell you, got to believe.
I don't think it'll be as great.
Yeah. You've got to believe that Jason Light has already picked up the phone to each one of these guys' agents and, you know, said, okay, what's it going to take? What's it take to get you guys back? You know, I don't know if they're going to sign anybody before the end of the season, before free agency. They're going to sign somebody. I'll tell you this. We're going to get some of these guys back. I doubt very seriously we're going to get all of these guys back. So there will be some changes, but I do think you're going to see some. I don't know that JPP is going to stay. I do think Shaq Barrett's going to stay. I think we'll probably re-sign Carl Nassib. I don't know if we're going to re-sign Sue. So that, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking right now, but you know, who knows at the end of the year. So we'll see. I think we would like to have them all back.
I would love to sign all these guys back.
Yeah.
And I saw a mock draft the other day and said, we're going to add an offensive tackle from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard about that, but that would be good too for us going forward.
Yeah, I've just started tinkering with the draft. Like, I just did my first mock just the other day. And, you know, I'm with you. I'm looking at, and it's kind of like, you know, and Jason Light does this. In the first round, he drafts just pretty much BPA, best player available. And I'm looking at tackle, and I'm looking at defensive.
Yeah, is it the guy from Alabama?
I've seen him. Like, I've read a little bit about him. But there, you know, there's some other guys out here, you know, they're, what I'm really looking at, because I really want to go defensive line round one, so I'm looking at guys that are going to be there round two at tackle. You know, there's a guy from Auburn. You know, there's some of these guys that have like all the size and ability. This haven't been coached up enough type of deal. Diamonds in the rough sort of guys. So that's where I'm looking in like second round. You know, early day two picks, because like you said about the defensive line, and it might change by that time, because like we know the only people under contract in defensive line right now is I think Bo Allen. But no guarantee. We got Vita Vea and we got Will Golston. Like, that's it.
That's
everyone
it.
Else are all free agents. So I would not mind. Oh, and Anthony Nelson. And I would not mind going edge or DT. Like, I've been talking about Derrick Brown, you know, Brent will back me up on this, the kid from Auburn for weeks now.
Yep.
Everyone saw him play against Alabama, and everyone's like, hey, yeah, Brown's the Auburn guy, right? Yeah, yeah, there yeah we go.
Brown's name has come up in the chat like a ton in the last 34 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy, you know, yeah. he I would love for him to play next to Vita Vea. The problem is he's not going to be there because we're going 9-7, and yeah. he's going to be a top 10 pick. And, you know, if they really want him,
I think 8-8.
Okay,
even still, that means we're not picking until like 14-17. That's yeah, about where we're probably going to pick this year. Yeah,
yeah, he won't be there.
8-8. That's where we're picking.
He's not getting out of the top 10. He's not. He's just not. He's the best interior defensive lineman in the game. Or in college right now. Yeah, he's going to win all the awards. You know, he's going to be Sue. When Sue came out, he won all the awards.
Yeah.
So you got to start looking at edge, and you got to start looking at guys on interior defensive linemen besides Brown and tackles. And that's where I want to go in the first, you know, right now in the first 3 days. But if they go out and sign, you know, they sign Sue and if they re-sign them all back, which I'm with Brent, I don't think it's likely, but if they do, then like I want to go offensive tackle round one because that's the big week. I might want to go offensive tackle, like interior lineman, offensive tackle in the first three rounds.
You know,
hey guys, before I go, I don't want to hold the lineup anymore. Do you guys think the running back's coming back?
I tell you what, I'm gonna go ahead and let the line go, but Ren, I do want you to answer that question about the running back. Steve, thanks so much for calling in. All right, buddy.
Thanks, Steve. At the beginning of the year, I would have never said that Peyton Barber's coming back.
Right.
But he's not having the year I expected to have.
Right.
And neither's Rojo, to be quite honest. So, but I also think Peyton Barber bets on Peyton Barber, and he's really going to want to at least try out free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his percentage of coming back is a lot higher than I thought. I'm kind of like, it's a 50-50 right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you. I think it's a lot higher of a percentage we could get him back. I think it's really going to depend on what we do in the draft and other free agents. Peyton Barber will be one of those guys, like, if we can upgrade him, awesome. If not, they'll be okay to roll with him for another year is, I think, kind of really where we're going to go with that. Let's say this is going to be our last caller of the night. Who do we have here tonight?
Hey, John. What's up, boys?
What's going on, John?
John.
Not much. What's going on? All right. First off, I want to get you guys' take on something real quick.
All right.
As of right now, we're still not mathematically eliminated.
Right.
Do you guys still think that there's a chance, slim chance, that they could even squeak into the playoffs if they continue to win out and we get help? Would you rather that happen or wait until we have a better chance next year to guarantee we get a playoff spot?
Well, any year we make the playoffs, I'd rather have that happen.
Yeah,
you know,
if we could,
yeah. But it's not going to happen. Yeah. And it doesn't have to do with, like, 9-7. Like, nobody's going to make this playoffs that's 9-7 except the winner of the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, it might take 11 wins to make it as a wild card this year.
Right.
It just is. It's just the NFC East that strong, you know?
Right.
Or the NFC's that strong. I mean, right now, Minnesota and Seattle are wild card team.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they've got like 5 losses between them.
Yeah. We're not going to top a wild card team. It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I know we're not mathematically eliminated. The only reason is because they haven't played enough games yet.
Yeah.
We could win every single game the rest of the year and we'll be mathematically eliminated. We just will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And the second question, a part of that is, if we do win out at 9 and finish at 9-7 or even at 8-8, mm-hmm. what would you feel like the improvements have been completely at that time? I mean, is it going to be, you know, do you still feel like you did against the Saints, you know, where it's through all, or if the defense can continue to play like this and continue to get this winning streak, which if they win out would be 6 in a row. And when's the last time that they won 6 in a row? A couple of years ago when they finished 9-7, it was only a 5-win streak to finish the year. So
listen, if we end this year on a 6-game winning streak, holy hell, that'll be great. Right now, like here's the thing. To be fair, I would almost be okay with losing to the Colts this next week as long as they play well. Be okay losing to the Colts and then winning the last couple and going out, you know, on a couple of three game win streaks. You know, like that's kind of, I think, more in the realm that I would anticipate. But I mean, Ren, I'll throw that over to you. So Bucks finish out 9-7, 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
The things on this team that have improved that you call a win for the year as we roll into 2020?
Sure.
I
would say everything.
Secondary? Yeah, what would you say? What would you think?
I would say everything.
What would you feel is like the biggest thing, rather?
I would first off sort of answer the question the first way you said it. I would say everything. Everything they promised us happened. Yeah. You know, Chris Godwin became an elite receiver. If we go along this trend, it looks like O.J. Howard has finally pulled his head out of his butt. So, you know, O.J. Howard, they did find a way finally to get the tight end involved in the offense. They promised us that. They promised us that, you know, that they were going to back Jameis 100%. He would improve. And even though he's had the most interceptions he's ever had, I think, so far, and he's still probably leading the league in interceptions, I still think that's true. Ronald Jones has become – like, they promised that, you know, Ronald Jones was going to turn into something. He did. They told us Devin White was going to be this be-all, end-all linebacker. It looks like he is. You know, he told the secondary was fixed. Hey, don't look now. It looks like it is. So, you know, they said the offensive line will improve. It has. That I give that – it's like Craig said, I would give the offensive line the first half of this game an A and like a D in the second half. So it averages out, like you said, like a B minus, C plus, or maybe just an average of C. You know, I would say the offensive line is a thing that would be the biggest disappointment, but I still think it improved. I was just expecting it to improve more and, you know, for them to play a little better. But we all know that it needs an upgrade, you know, especially at the tackle position. Or, you know, I heard this on a podcast. I think it was Trevor on his other podcast. Draft a guard and kick Kappa outside.
Could Kappa play tackle? You think Kappa could be tackle?
We need to ask that
in
question.
In the NFL?
We need somebody to ask that question.
Is he big enough? See, I don't know that he's big enough to play tackle.
Okay. Well, we need somebody to ask that question.
I agree. That'd be a great question.
So as far as what I think, like, the number one thing would be if we go 8-8, 9-7, I would have to say the defense. It's easy to pick Jameis, but I would have to say the defense, because if the defense does what they does these past 2 weeks, and I understand that we're playing, you know, sort of the bottom feeders of the NFL, but guess what, everybody? We are too. And we're used to losing these games. Mm-hmm. And that's, you can only beat the people in front of you.
Right.
And if we go 6-2 the second half of the season, you know, Brent's re-upping his season tickets, I'm telling you.
It's my wife would be pissed too, because I told her I'm not. She would be pissed, but I don't care. We'll re-up the tickets for sure. So, all right, John, man, you got anything else before I let you go, brother?
No, I'll see you guys next week.
All right, Gron, thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks,
all right,
John.
Well, with that, guys, we'll go ahead and shut down the phone line as we wind down this show, because we are certainly past our normal time. Ren, Buccaneers. I mean, what more could we say? Actually, there's probably more we could say, but
because we will, I hope so.
Because we will. Because you know what? We got a couple extra shows coming out. And yeah, listen, just so you guys know, that's how this works for us. We have the Instant Cash Show, but coming out later on this week, we're going to have our Final Thoughts episode. That's the show where typically we've had a couple of days to think about it, maybe rewatch the game, maybe not, depending on, you know, if we want to or not, because of the, you know, how they play.
I'll probably rewatch this
one. Yeah. You know, we'll get a chance to do that. We'll come out with some more analytical analysis. That's a good word for you. Analytical analysis here of the game.
The old double anal.
Yeah, there you go. Ooh, wow. I'm not going there. We'll also do an email show, kind of a mailbag. We'll call it our inbox. Well, we'll read iTunes reviews. You guys go over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it these days. Leave us a review. We'll read it there. Also, send in an email. You can message us all that to thepewtercast@gmail.com. We will read that, especially if those of you who are listening to this on the podcast feed, you didn't get a chance to call in. You've got thoughts on the game. You can go ahead and send that in. We'll do that there as well too. And if you'd like to, and then as we turn the corner towards next week, we'll have our Buck in the News show as that comes back around. So lots of great content. The season is not over. We got several weeks left. 4 weeks left, I think it is, in the game, in the year. Five weeks.
Four.
Is it four? Four weeks left. So we are still rolling through this season. So lots of stuff going on. Well, Ren, let's see here. There was one question I saw in the chat room that I wanted to get your thought on before we went in. And if I can find it real quick, I'll ask it. If not, I will say, go ahead and take us out of here. Had something to do with a running back. Was it? What was it? I thought it was a great question.
Would you like me to go ahead and get us out?
Go ahead and get us out of here. It'll be fine.
Keep looking.
If I can find it, I'll ask you, but go ahead. Do your thing.
Best place to find me is on Twitter at Rendax, R-E-N underscore D-A-X-T. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. I don't know if it was a trip to Ireland or this two-game win streak, but I'm going to throw this out there. If you don't want to sort of put a tweet out and at me, you are more than welcome to slide in my DMs, and we'll talk Buccaneers football there as well, too. I know I have not been as diligent this year as I have been in years past. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was sick. Bad fish. Oh, by the way, the oysters in Ireland are world class, man. And I don't know why I didn't even think about it earlier. Wow. Because it needs like a craggy, you know, covey, jagged coastline and ice cold water. And it's like, well, Ireland's a landmass in the middle of the North Atlantic. It's like, you know, it's like, wow.
Exactly
like,
what I can't, it was.
Like they are, they're top notch. I just wanted to say that. I'm just stalling right now.
No, okay, well, stop stalling because I did not find it, and that's okay. I'll look for it later, and maybe we'll talk about it later on another thing. People were talking about Kappa playing left tackle in college. Yeah, he did. I just don't think he could do it in the NFL. We're going to close this out. If you want to get in touch with me, you guys, you can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias, and the show is at The Pewtercast on Twitter and on Facebook. And once again, that email address you want to send some stuff in is thepewtercast@gmail.com. I want to say thanks to everybody who's joined us, Brent. I don't know that tonight was a record high, but it's up there. This is one of our kind of high water mark shows for people who joined us live. So thanks to everybody out there who's been getting the word out and joining us and inviting other people to get in. You guys are awesome. And we'll catch you guys later on this week. And until then, we'll close the show out. Big old smile on our faces. Go Bucks.